Let us pray. We ask now, O God, that as we have heard the word, that you will speak to us even deeply as we reflect upon it. We thank you for its reading. We thank you for the fact that we have this opportunity to think about what message you might have for us. May your spirit move within in me as I share the word that you've placed on my heart. Amen. Billy looked out the window of his prison cell. Anger and hatred loomed in his thoughts. Nothing ever seemed to go right in his life. All that he had ever really wanted was acceptance and love. But everywhere he looked for it, he ran into a wall of indifference. Even his parents turned their backs on him. His life with them was filled with abuse and drugs. In fact, his father introduced him to drugs when he was merely a child of 8 years old. By the time he was 14, he was living on the streets because his parents kicked him out of the house. His search for love and acceptance eventually led him down the road of drugs, alcohol, and crime. Sometimes, for brief periods, he left the street life and lived with his grandparents. They gave him a warm bed and found him a job. They took him to church where he met people he could trust and friendship they had to offer. But he always, for some reason, returned to the old and never-ending search to find something that was missing deep inside of him. He looked in all the wrong places for fulfillment of this need. Finally, one day, he hit rock bottom. Someone he cared about left him, and he could no longer control the pain and the anger that he felt inside. Driven by rage, he lashed out violently at an innocent little girl who crossed his path while he was walking in a cemetery. He held her captive with a knife and began undressing her. The terrified little girl cried and wanted desperately to scream. Billy was oblivious to her terror. All that he could hear were the screams from within himself. He was exhausted and tired of rejection. The screams within him grew louder and louder until suddenly someone grabbed him. And he found him face to face with a policeman. Billy's search for love and acceptance led him to a prison cell. There he was left to feed his pain with more hatred and anger. Every morning he awakened to a new day and thought to himself, just a few more years in this dump and then I'll be free again. Free to do what? To continue the meaningless search? You know, an obvious question that we might all ask ourselves is, why didn't Billy's search end when he was with his grandparents and the people at the church? What they offered him was exactly what he needed. We all know that. But you see, the problem was that Billy was the one on the search, and only he could choose for himself that which would end his search. This is a true story. I knew Billy, although that was not his real name. Billy's story may be a bit dramatic compared to most of our own lives' stories, but there's something that we all have in common with him. We all have those things that we need, but we're not always sure where or what to look for to satisfy those needs. And if we're not careful, the feelings and desires that we have surrounding our need can gain control of us and cause us to do some really foolish things. The Bible tells us that our search for answers and fulfillment can be satisfied by Jesus. Today's scripture is that familiar story of the three wise men, inspired by the sighting of a brilliant star. They embarked on a search of their own. But before we take a closer look at their journey, I want us to take a few moments to focus on some other characters that are in this story and see what we can learn from them and from the search that they are on in their own life, or were on in their own lives. While on their journey, the wise men made a stop in Jerusalem, and they looked up King Herod to ask him if he might know where they could find the baby born to the king of, born to the Jews. Herod was the ruler of Palestine for Rome. He was the builder of the temple in Jerusalem, which is merely his way of bribing the Jews to obedience under his rule. He was a man driven by greed, suspicion, and jealousy. The people feared him because he killed anyone he suspected of trying to steal his power. It's believed that he murdered his own wife and three of his sons. He was a man who was imprisoned with hatred and hostility because of his inability to openly admit and deal with his problem of insecurity. So when the wise men asked him about a new king, well, as you can imagine, his blood pressure and his insecurity rose. He called together his chief priests and scribes and asked them where the scriptures say the child would be born. And they told him, because the prophet Micah foretold it, the baby was born in Bethlehem. Herod wanted to destroy that baby. So he asked the kings to stop upon their return to their homeland to tell him where they had found that child so that he could go and worship him too. The wise men were smarter than that. They didn't stop in their return. In fact, they went home another way because they were warned about Herod's plan in a dream. What a miserable and angry man Herod must have been. Driven by that insecurity and jealousy, he hurt others, pushed people away, made terrible decisions, and never felt fulfillment in his life. We don't know why he was like this. What maybe happened in his past that caused him to be so angry and insecure. But we do know he sought for answers to satisfy these personal needs in all the wrong places. Like Herod, there are people today overwhelmed with feelings of insecurity and jealousy, grief, anger, greed, a whole host of negative emotions that can inhibit one's ability to feel complete, to feel satisfied and fulfilled in life. Relying on oneself to find the answers that will satisfy their inner pain and longing by, say, turning to material prosperity or lashing out and hurting others with words or physical harm. These can lead to further, deeper, darker pain. Searching for what they need in all the wrong places gives them the wrong answers. Next, we read about the chief priests and the scribes. These men were experts on the scriptures and the laws. When Herod came to them asking for the whereabouts of Jesus, oh, they knew all the scriptures and said that he would be born in Bethlehem. Oh, the priests and scribes were proud men, and they'd like to show off their knowledge, especially in this case, to Herod, whom they never wanted to disappoint. They knew that if they could please Herod, life would be good for them. They were quick to ridicule and condemn those who criticized them and those who broke the laws as they interpreted the laws. They were men driven by selfishness and pride. Like the scribes and the Pharisees, there are people today who think very highly of themselves. You may know a few. Pride keeps them from noticing the needs of others. Selfishness blinds them to the possible consequences others may endure because of their own need to please their peers, to make them feel good, or to even to those who they worship as idols. Our lives do not need to be slaves to these kinds of negative feelings and attitudes and the behaviors that get expressed because of them. We don't need to be like the scribes and the Pharisees and like Herod, looking for something that we deeply need in all the wrong places. That brings us to the wise men. Who were they? Originally, they were thought to be of the priestly caste among the Persians and the Babylonians. Later, the Greeks used the same words to identify them as sorcerers and charlatans or con artists. Matthew used the term wise men in a positive sense to designate them as honorable men from an Eastern religion. They seem to have had contacts with Jewish exiles, or at least knowledge of the prophecies of Daniel, which made them aware of that prophecy of a coming Messiah. They were men who watched the stars and believed that the stars could foretell the futures, and believed that a man's destiny was settled by the star that he was born under. The stars had an order, and this bright star that they saw in the east broke that order, signifying to them that something special was happening. The wise men believed that the star was a birth announcement, and they were curious. They may not have known it when they first saw it, but it was an invitation from God to meet the Savior of the world. And that's how their journey towards something wonderful began. The wise men accepted God's invitation. They followed that star and they searched for the child born under the bright star. They traveled a great distance and a long time over perilous territories. But they didn't care. They were driven by their curiosity and their deep desire to meet this special little one. It's interesting that they were willing to travel so far, and yet their own kinsmen would not even cross the street to welcome the child. Their journey was not in vain. God was with them. They brought gifts, the best gifts they could offer, gold, a gift for a king. Jesus was the king who would rule by love through people's hearts, not in the way that many other people were expecting a Messiah to come and serve as king. He does not rule from a throne, but from a cross. Frankincense. They brought frankincense, a gift from a priest, one who is a bridge between man and God. Jesus does that. He opened the way to God. He was the go-between. And myrrh, a gift for one who is to die. It was used to embalm the bodies of the dead. And Jesus would die for all of us. These were gifts they could not have known were very symbolic of or relevant to Jesus' life as the fulfillment of God's promised Messiah. I don't imagine, at least I find it very hard to imagine, the lives of these men who followed that star was ever the same after that moment. They were Gentiles who came to pay homage to the King of the Jews, and they left taking Jesus in their hearts with them. Something happened to them. The Spirit moved in them, just as the Spirit led them by the star to see this special baby. And it all began because of their curiosity that led them on that journey to search for something bigger and greater than them. God sends an invitation to all his children, you and me, and the lost, the broken, the powerful, the insecure, and selfish people of this world. God sends an invitation. He knows all of our sins. He knows our needs and those things we seek to satisfy our needs, the emptiness, the longings. And still, he offers the invitation to make the journey to seek out Jesus. To offer anyone the greatest gift of all. And for us to offer to him our very selves, to open ourselves to be changed, to be fulfilled, to be at peace, and free from that which keeps us from being all that he created us to be, spiritually mature children of God. Oh yes, brothers and sisters, there's still a star shining for us, leading us to exactly what we need, which is Jesus. Follow that star. Follow it as you read God's word. Follow it as you worship him. Follow it as you open yourselves to new experiences and surprises that he puts before you. Follow it and love Jesus. Amen.